The corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, you know, you look at impeachment article number two, obstruction of Congress, and today... you had Donald Trump basically admitting that by, and it's all over the Twitters, it's all over the place, by Trump saying, we have all the materials. They don't have the materials. Again, open mouth, insert foot, whatever you want to put. But just being, I guess in this case, honest, they've got all the materials that they refuse to give over. And as I said at the beginning, 71 requests for documents. That Democrats fought for, and none of them, not one document has been handed over. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, this admission and, well, the sham of a trial that we're seeing before us. I've asked AG to come talk with us. She is the host of Mueller, She Wrote podcast and also the Daily Beans pod, two podcasts that you have to subscribe and listen to. AG, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. So what do you think of this admission that he's got all the documents? He's got all the material.
Well, nobody ever accused him of being a smart fella. So it's absolutely astonishing, yet somehow completely unsurprising that he would just come out and say, you know, well, we've got everything. They don't have it. We have it. And I mean, he's admitted to so much publicly already, but it's just there's no bottom here. And I have to say, although I'm consistently shocked, I'm never surprised.
Yeah, I see. I've grown to the point to where I'm not shocked anymore. I'm not surprised. In fact, my expectations are so low that I don't know that you could get below that. But they seem to consistently do that.
Yeah, they really do. And I'm super interested now to hear about, and I tweeted about this before and a couple of days ago again, that one page classified phone call readout with Pence and Zelensky, and the recent calls as recent as this evening by Zoe Lofgren to have that declassified. So that's an interesting piece of quote-unquote material that we don't have yet, but the Senate does.
Yeah, but again, if McConnell has shown us anything, it's his grip on the Republican Party. I mean, we've seen so many 53-47 votes. I just expect every vote to be that way.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm feeling pretty pessimistic about the up or down vote after the opening arguments, presentations, and senator questions that we're going to get any kind of Republican movement to get witnesses. Although I think the House managers on the Democratic side, are making a very good case to the American public, at least, as to why we should be able to see these documents and to hear these witnesses.
No, but you know, most people that I talk to, and when you talk to somebody face to face, you know, they get, hey, we need to have all of the evidence. There's no reason that John Bolton and his mustache shouldn't be testifying about why he didn't want to be part of the drug deal. There's no reason that Mulvaney shouldn't be testifying. There's no reason that Pompeo shouldn't be testifying. Any of these people. There's no reason that these witnesses shouldn't be taking the seat and answering questions. Because ultimately, you know, what's being shown to us is a massive cover-up because the people who are in the know are being excluded.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's got to be frustrating to the American public. We do know from multiple polls that anywhere between 66 and 71% of Americans want to hear from witnesses. But I just don't think that, unfortunately, is going to move the GOP. I think that they're in lockstep with the White House and McConnell, and it doesn't seem like they're moving, at least not at this point.
No, it's one of those things where, again, they're dug in. It is what it is. And it's what I think most of us, I don't know about you, but I predicted this from the beginning. Not that I'm very bright, but you know, this just seemed to be what McConnell would be leading the Republicans to do, and you know, he hasn't disappointed.
No, and I think his sort of quote unquote good faith efforts to have an up or down vote added to change it from 2 days of 12 hours apiece to 3 days of 8 hours apiece they're just gonna be lost on I think most of the American public, but we'll see how they have to pay for this in the election in 2020. I think it'll come back to haunt them, especially as more evidence comes out, and it will.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the case. I mean, for me, the number one target in all this is not really even Trump. It's McConnell for me, because he's he's to me the most dangerous of all of them. You know, he's the guy who led the Merrick Garland thing. He's the guy who pushed through the Supreme Court justice. He's the guy who's holding up anything happening in the Senate. To me, he's enemy number one.
Yeah, and particularly election protection bills. Whether they're four or five now that he's blocked or just sitting on his desk collecting dust, meanwhile calling the Democrats the do-nothing party when I think there's almost 400 pieces of legislation sitting on his desk that were passed by the House. So it is him. I see that he, you know, aside from Trump, he and Bill Barr, I think, are the two most dangerous people in the world.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But, you know, here's the thing that gets me is, you know, Trump's got, you know, supposedly the best legal team in the on the planet. And and have you been watching their defense?
It's the most, it's so slapdash and ridiculous. And I mean, the mistakes alone that were made yesterday, like with the lawyer lawsuits thing that Sekulow wouldn't put down, or that we held the articles for 33 days when it was 28, or that Republicans weren't allowed to question witnesses during the House impeachment inquiry. I mean, just error after error after error. And these are just either stupid mistakes or bald-faced lies. Either one, not good, not a good look.
Well, I mean, the one...
And it's funny to watch and sad, but man, you're right, that team...
But it seemed to me, you know, they're playing the Fox News talking points. I mean, especially the one about, you know, the due process and not being able to produce witnesses and not being able to be in the room. And, you know, it was all secretive. You know, I've had so many people tell me that, you know, this was unfair from the beginning because there was nobody, you know, they didn't know what was going on. It was all secret. I go, yeah, there were 100 people in the room. Real secret.
Yeah. Yeah. And as if the Republicans wouldn't leak anything if it helped them.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, I don't know if you saw from Davos today, you had Trump saying that he wants Bolton and Mulvaney and Pompeo to testify, which is just kind of throwing a torpedo into McConnell's world. It's one of those things where if they had something that would help him, I guarantee they'd be testifying.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And Joyce Vance has said this from the beginning. If you have any witnesses that will exonerate you, you would not stop them from testifying.
Now, you've read the transcript, right?
Of the call?
The perfect transcript.
Yes. Yes, I've read the quote-unquote transcript.
Right, the quote-unquote transcript. It's not an actual. Do you think there's a recording somewhere?
Unless the Ukrainians have one, no. I don't think that those calls were recorded. I think what I'm more interested in, and well, not more interested, but also interested in, is some of this NSA material that Schiff said was supposed to be, he made a deal that they would hand that over to him and the House Intelligence Committee about calls between Zelensky and other Ukrainian officials discussing the pressure and the hold. And so there are recordings of that, and I think the NSA has them, and now they're withholding and obstructing the House Intelligence Committee. But I don't think that there's an American side recording of the perfect call.
Yeah, it's surprising me that there wouldn't be. I mean, if you're gonna write it down, if you're gonna hire somebody to write it down, we got technology now, record everything.
Yeah, in fact, they had a group of what, like 9 people, Vindman included, who wanted to make edits, but then his edits were rejected.
Yeah, that's always been weird to me. But you know, I look at the perfect call, and for me, it's a perfect call in that you were saying I want you to do something for me. And you know I want you to do this for me, and you also know that I'm holding your money, so you got to do this for me. That's how it reads to me.
Yeah, it's how I think it would read to anybody who can read.
So how is that perfect? I mean, my theory has been that, you know, he's had this call, you know, probably a million times in the past where he's been strong arming or bribing or whatever somebody, and for him that's just normal. That's how you do business.
Yeah, I think that that's the case, and he might actually believe it in his heart of hearts, or whatever he has there, that he was doing the right thing, or that he made the perfect call, because he's so transactional and so above the law in his own head that anything he does is perfect, pretty much, which sort of made me wonder about how that whole the Mueller report, you know, when they said Don Jr. wasn't smart enough to be convicted of a crime or, you know, to be charged with a crime. It's like, well, how can you then ever prove corrupt intent for someone who never thinks that they're breaking the law?
No, and isn't that really kind of their defense as well? I mean, I started today off by going, you know, the Republicans' defense is basically they don't have any evidence. Granted, we haven't given them any, and we're not going to give them any. And if the president says it's a hoax, it's a hoax, so we all go home.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
So how do you see this playing out over the next couple? There's, what, one more day of arguments, right?
I think we've got 3 days each side of opening arguments. I don't know if they'll use the full 24 hours each. And then we've got 16 hours of Senate questions, which they can't ask, you know, with their mouth. They have to write them down, and Chief Justice Roberts will read them. And then we'll have that up or down vote on whether witnesses go forward. So I think we'll continue to hear the same, you know, terrible arguments put forth, quote unquote arguments put forth by the Trump team. We'll continue to hear slam dunk stuff by the Democrats. I think I'm not sure what the questions and answer situation will look like, but I'm really feeling pessimistic about the up or down vote on witnesses and documents. I'm not sure they'll do that. They know if they do, their goose is cooked. And if they, you know, I just don't think they're going to break with McConnell.
No, I don't think he's so either, but because I don't think they want this to drag on. I've predicted that it'll be over by State of the Union time, so that he can endure in the State of the Union, say he's been exonerated.
Yeah, that's been the goal, I think, from the beginning. I think it was why McConnell put out that 24-hour, 2-day limit in the first place, was because Trump was pushing him so hard to get this done before the State of the Union. I think you're exactly right.
So now once he's done with this, you know, what crime is next? And do you then, you know, it just goes away then, right?
I mean, crime in progress, right? That's what it is. There's more that's going to continue to happen. And, you know, the Democrats were right. You know, he's not going to stop. And I never really kind of understood the argument of sending the articles immediately because of the importance of the safety of the upcoming election, because I don't think Republicans were ever going to, convict him. And I don't think that just impeaching him is going to stop him from doing this.
No, you're right. But were you critical of Nancy Pelosi's handling of this and Schiff's handling of all this? Were you critical of them?
No. If anything, I wish he would have held him on a little bit longer. But I thought they played it perfectly.
So you wouldn't have held out and pushed for Giuliani and Bolton and them to testify and can fight for a subpoena? You wouldn't have done that?
Well, if we filed those lawsuits, they may or may not have been done on time for the election, you know, by the time of the election. But there, you know, there is evidence that they might have going back to the Nixon stuff. But I would have preferred that they waited until they got the Mueller report materials, the grand jury materials, and the McGahn testimony, and set up an article for that. But then again, that would put us right in the middle of campaign season, and, you know, we do have to get them out on the road. But that would have been my personal preference. Do you think they should have filed those lawsuits?
See, I think he had to make the appearance, because one of the things I think that's playing is that they didn't really appear to go after Bolton. That they rescinded that subpoena, I guess, of him and Kupperman.
Just Kupperman, yeah. Kupperman.
But it's the same lawyer represented both of them. That's why it was in my head.
Cooper, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's to me, I think you had to make the at least the fight to say, hey, we tried. Don't you think, or no?
Well, the reason I think that they pulled the subpoena was because they didn't want to have the argument that it's being litigated, and that's why no one's testifying.
Yeah.
So they removed that argument, at least. Because if they had right now, it would be like they can't come testify. It's being litigated, and we wouldn't hear from them either. So
yeah,
at least they pulled that argument.
Yeah, and I've heard that as well. And I understand that you can hold off, testifying for years. And, you know, in fact, you know, I think back to Eric Holder, who held off for a couple of years from having to testify. And I forget what it was, but the Fast and Furious thing, I think it was.
Yep, that was it.
But, you know, it's one of those moments where, to me, you at least had to try. That was my thought.
Barr put out that, summary thing in the 80s, his litigation didn't go through telling him he had to testify till after he was no longer the attorney general. And so it was moot.
Right, good point. But, you know, I look at this and, you know, who I keep coming back to. You know, I go back to the Mueller report. I go back to the election in 15 and 16. And I keep coming back to there's only one winner in all of the chaos that's been going on these last couple of years, and that's Putin. He's got to be, you know, just smiling from ear to ear over all of the things that he's meddled in.
Yeah, he kicked the beehive and now he's laughing.
I mean,
it's frustrating because, I mean, you know, that's one of our biggest adversaries. I know we all laughed at Mitt Romney when he said that in the 2012 debates.
Right.
But yeah, if you frame everything Trump's done as a favor to Putin, it all makes sense.
So now you bring this back to the Mueller report and all of the stuff that didn't get out there, all of the contacts with the Russians. This stuff isn't this Ukrainian stuff isn't off by itself. It's all part of the same. To me, it's all part of the same kind of thing.
It is. Manafort is the linchpin in the whole thing. I mean, they started off early in 2017 and 2018 by withholding the sale of Javelin missiles and wouldn't meet with the previous president of Ukraine at the White House, wouldn't give him a meeting until he did their bidding back then, and then they got the Javelins. And so they've been doing this behavior, since this transactional sort of extortion, since the beginning. And it makes you wonder what other countries this has happened with, not just Ukraine. It can't be the only one.
Yeah, good point. But what do you say to the people? And I get this from some of my MAGA friends who say that, well, you know, this is how we do business. This is how the U.S. has always done things. They've always strong-armed. They've always bribed. They've always done this.
That's a really terrible reason to do anything. And I always use the same example. I worked in hospitals for a long time. And, you know, we used to smoke in hospitals, and we don't now. And so to say, well, that's just how we've always done it, I think is a terrible argument.
Yeah, but, you know, their argument is, well, you know, he's just doing what everybody else has done. Well, we shouldn't impeach him, which is, you know, I've gotten the argument that there should have been something lesser. Do you see the possibility that there could have been anything lesser?
No, I think that this whole entire Ukraine shakedown is the reason they put impeachment in the Constitution. It's clear to me, at least in the Federalist Papers. I know that there's some arguments that wasn't the reason. If this isn't an impeachable offense, nothing is.
I'm right there with you. I wasn't on the impeachment bandwagon with the Mueller report because I thought it was really complicated for people to grasp. This is really simple in my view.
Yeah, and you do have to have public support, right?
Right.
And because of Barr's mischaracterization of the Mueller findings, you didn't have that when the Mueller report came out. So,
yeah, we'll see where this goes. Finally, I wanted to get one thought on the political spectrum. I don't know if you saw today that Hillary Clinton's being sued for $50 million in counting by Tulsi Gabbard for the claim that she's an favorite of the Russians.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Oh, hilarious. First of all, Clinton didn't mention her by name. It wasn't until a spokesperson was asked if it was about Gabbard, and he didn't even mention her name. He just said, well, if the Russian nesting doll fit. And again, I think people need to be aware that being a Russian asset doesn't mean you have to be in on it. But, I mean...
Good point.
In a defamation suit, the truth is a defense, so I think she's going to have a real hard time with that.
Also, she's a public figure. Good luck on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck on that. I'm just not seeing where she got $50 million in counting and in damages. Wow, good for her. But, AG, I appreciate the time. I hope folks will check out the podcast. Mueller, She Wrote, fantastic, and also The Daily Beans. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much, Rick. Talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.